From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 9th day of March, 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. We'll also discuss this morning's USDA report. The WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, were released at 11 a.m. Central Time. CONAB released its update of Brazilian crops at 6 a.m. Central Time this morning. Both of those reports upping the size of the Brazilian bean crop. Dan will have some comments on it, and then we'll take up the same topic with Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss El Nino with Mike Tenora. He's a T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, right here on this Thursday edition to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it's a Thursday, the 9th day of March. It's USDA Report Day, and we're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting, Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks so much. Still in the state of Illinois after being over at the Beef House on Tuesday this week?
Yes, I am, but we're leaving tomorrow to get out of here before that cold air really comes down and gets us. So
those numbers do look pretty cold into the weekend. That low of 16 didn't sound very good, I have to admit.
No, it doesn't. I haven't felt 16 degrees for several years, and I'm going to get out of here before I feel it again.
So, that sounds like a good idea. Hey, a couple of things to talk about. So USDA's numbers mostly updating what was happening in South America today, and we'll get to some of those numbers. There were some changes in the ending stocks. Corn unchanged. Wheat ending stocks were down 10 million bushels to 1.129 billion. Soybeans, this was a kind of a change I don't know that many people expected. We had 420 million as our ending stocks in February, and USDA raised that 15 million to 435. What happened?
Well, my guess is I think they shaved the exports a little bit on beans to get to that higher carryout. My guess is they're basically taking into account, I think, the large South American inventory that's coming to town. Now, a lot of that's not really going to, you know, really impact us until you get into more April is when those supplies really start working their way into the world channels. But my guess is USDA just looked at the large South American inventory and just kind of felt that we're probably done selling beans for a while. And they just shaved the exports off a little bit, and that kind of bumped up carryover. So, I mean, that's my guess why they did it, is the South American crop is just, you know, huge, at least at the moment anyway, depending upon, you know, whether or not you want to look at South American numbers or USDA's numbers. It's big and they're growing. The overall supplies are, the big crop is getting bigger, and that's basically what we saw reflected in the markets here today.
Yeah, so of course there's a first and a second crop for soybeans and corn there both, and we're talking about soybeans at the moment. USDA saying Mato Grosso, which is their largest state, but it's a really big one by comparison to a state in the United States anyway, I think they grow 40% of the soybeans. I can't quite recall that number off the top of my head. About 78% harvested, but that was somewhere near the end of the month of February. They did raise for all of Brazil, as you have suggested, the total number of beans that will be harvested, and USDA went from 104 million metric tons to 108. That was in pretty much lockstep with what CONAB released at 6 a.m. this morning, our time, at 109.6. I'd have to go back and look at that number, but 107.6. So they're both right at 108 million metric tons. That's 3.968 billion bushels, by the way. So that's a big crop. USDA by, or U.S. Crop by comparison last year was 4.3 billion bushels, and that's an enormous crop for the United States. So two big crops appear to be coming back to back. So the question really is, you want to be a contrarian. Can you maintain your contrarian stance in front of such a large double supply from both North and South America?
No, you can't fundamentally or even technically be a contrarian in the short run. Though it's the, like I said, at the beef house, it's the unknown unknowns that we don't we got to worry about. And it's too early for the market to trade that. Right now, we're trading a large South American crop on top of large U.S. carryovers. You know, field work is beginning, and that is going to do nothing more than basically pick up as time goes on, as we go on into late March and April. Then we've got the BIC report that usually throws somebody a curveball somewhere is going to be that March 31st report, which will have both the acres and grain stocks on hand on the 1st of March. The way the markets are acting here during the first few days of March, one would have to kind of think that maybe those March 1 stock inventories are going to be on the high side of the estimates, so it's going to show adequate supplies. You know, the big debate is how big is the soybean acres going to be versus how much of a decline we're going to have in corn. I would say today's price action would probably, if there was anybody that was thinking about maybe going toward corn, may have less desire to go to corn and probably more on beans and go along with the insurance guarantee that we have available. But that's going to be the next BIC report. If we're going to go higher, and you have to build a case that we're going to have some weather issues as we go down the road. And I guess I'm just statistically in the camp that about every 5 years, we do get into some weather issues and some crop problems. There's no guarantee of that. It may not happen until maybe next year. But as we get further and further away from the 12 episode, which was a big drought, the odds begin to increase that you're going to have weather issues. And we'll have to see, you know, how that plays out. One of the things that make me a contrarian is I do believe both the corn, soybeans, and even the wheat market have all made some major 8.5, 9-year type cycle lows. So I do think the longer term cycles do keep the door open for prices to strengthen as we go down the road. But, you know, you can look at today's supply demand numbers, and I may be on the fringes at times, but the numbers are there. They're big, and you just can't argue against them, at least in the short run. The other thing I think kind of got into this market, it's not only grains today that took a hit. I mean, just look at the crude oil market, what it's done the last 2 days. It's totally, the bulls are definitely are bleeding all over the floors, even on gold. The dollar did have a reversal down today. It maybe has a little double top with a couple double reversal down. So maybe it's indicating that maybe the dollar's ready for a decline. If that would occur, then I think that would maybe come in and maybe provide some underlying support to commodities. But it's just one of those days that it was supply driven. And there's just nothing you can get in the way when you see those kind of numbers. I mean, they're actually really scary if we don't have a weather issue. to shorten up the crop somewhere along the line, we could be in really deep soup next fall. I mean, there's just no ands, ifs about it. We're overproducing, not only here in the United States, but we're overproducing all over the world. Because you just look at the world numbers, they're all increasing. And when you got any stocks increasing, prices are going to have to reflect that by going lower.
Even the corn out of Brazil up 5 million metric tons from 1 month to the next. So they're expecting a good second crop corn production down there. Part of that from USDA said this was on a very good yield in the first crop and larger acreage in the second crop. And the second crop is their bigger harvest now than it was just 5 years ago. So this is all coming to fruition, I suppose, and there's just a lot of supply there, as you said, and it's kind of hard to get in front of that.
Yeah, you can't get in front of that train, not yet anyway. And I mean, that's very typical. I mean, last year they had the short crop. They've had domestically high prices. So there's been every incentive in the world for the South American farmer to plant more acres. And after you have a weather problem crop, the odds are pretty good the next year is going to be much closer to normal. It may not be perfect, but you get normal weather in agriculture with today's seed quality, genetics, you're going to have a big crop. And that's basically what's happened in South America. I mean, it happened to us after the 12 crop. We had a short crop, big prices. 14, we had generally favorable weather, and we've been on a downhill slide. Now, it does look like maybe 16. We put in some lows after, you know, a decline during 14, 15, 16, a three-year decline. 17 so far looks to be more of a sideways market, waiting for a fundamental event to occur that would maybe tighten up supplies. Or, you know, somewhere around along the line, the rules are changed. I mean, last week, I mean, you could, from a technical analyst point of view, I began to worry even Monday, but Monday wasn't too much of a panic. Tuesday, I was getting a little concerned. And then yesterday, the technicians started turning bearish because we had those nice weekly reversals to the upside, as we talked about last week, and there was no follow-through on those weekly reversals. Now, when we didn't get no follow-through on Monday, I said, I won't worry about Monday. Tuesday, you get a little more nervous, but still not too bad. Yesterday was when we couldn't see any follow-through from those reversals that we had last week. That is when the technicians started throwing in the towel, and you could see how much the funds sold today. Now, whether or not these funds were driven by the technicals side of the market or was driven by the fundamental side, some are driven by the technicals, others are driven by fundamentals, but both the fundamentals and technicals pretty much told you to give up the ship here today. Now, there's 1 ounce of hope I have for the bulls. and this is just an observation of mine that I've observed over the years. Is when a market breaks going into a full moon, many times we will maybe near a short-term bottom. And I think we got a full moon coming maybe Sunday or something like that. So maybe we'll and today the beans did bounce off their lows. We did not close down against the lows anyway, at least in May in beans. Now the corn futures closed, they did also kind of bounced off their lows too. So I think the way the market traded here during the last 15 minutes of trade does indicate that tomorrow could be a firmer day. The shorts definitely has had a profitable week, so they may want to take some profits, bring them home with them. And then, like I said, we'll see what happens come Monday. If my observation that when a market breaks into a full moon, that we have a short-term low in front of us. And so we'll see whether or not the market rallies next week. And I'll talk to you next Thursday, probably from the Rio Grande Valley, where it's 80 degrees.
Yeah, all right. Well, you do that, and hopefully we'll have some better things to discuss. Hey, thank you, Dan, and thanks for coming up for the All Day Ag Outlook on Tuesday, too.
Very well.
And, of course, Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, in the great state of Illinois today. Matt Bennett is not with us this afternoon, but no worries. We'll move right on to Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about a study I know that you've just done on El Nino? I thought it might be on La Nina, but apparently things are changing.
Things are always changing in the weather world, as you know, Todd. So what ended up happening is that the La Nina that we had a couple of months ago has diminished. And right now we're in what's called the neutral phase, which is where we're not in a La Nina, where the Pacific Ocean is colder than normal, but we're also not in an El Nino, which is where the equatorial Pacific Ocean is warmer than normal. So right now, temperatures are basically close to normal. As we move forward, it looks like it will end up being a little bit warmer as we move forward. There's a number of computer model projections that are now showing the potential for an El Nino to develop later on this year, though we do have a couple of words of caution. Number one is that forecast accuracy from these models is typically the lowest at this time of the year. And that's because El Nino or La Nina, if it were to develop, would peak around December, so 9 months from now. It's a little bit early to start understanding exactly what's happening in the ocean. That only becomes more obvious in the summer and more late in the summer and early in the fall. So by July or August, we should have a much better idea of whether an El Nino is truly developing or whether the neutral phase we're in now will continue.
Any other things from this that we should learn from your report yesterday?
Well, the most important thing regards what happens to U.S. corn and soybean crops in these years that start out with a La Nina, or at least a La Nina condition, which is when those water temperatures are a little bit cold to start the year like they were back in January. And then when those same years ended up in an El Nino, which again, there is a probability for that to happen later this year. So if you look at what happened to some of these corn and soybean crops, it's kind of similar to what we see a lot of the times when we do these types of studies. And that's where you just don't have a real lot to latch onto. Though there are some features of this that we find rather interesting. If you look at what happens in the spring, which we define as April and May, we've seen some very dry springs a couple of times. That's happened three times when we've had this condition where we start out with the cold condition in the ocean and we end up with an El Nino. So we looked at basically 10 times that's happened since 1960. And three of those times we had super dry periods in April and May. But on only one of those years did we stay dry through the summer, and that was in 1976. And in that 1976 growing season, not surprisingly, corn and soybean crops were below the long-term trend, which makes sense. If it's dry in the spring and it's dry in the summer, you're not going to have a great crop. But for the most part, in those key summer periods, things didn't look all that bad except for a couple of growing seasons. Those were mainly in 2002 when it was on the hot side, and then also 1976, as we mentioned. There's not a lot to look at here except to say that we've seen yields on both sides of the equation with some real good crops and some real bad crops following this type of scenario, with most of those right in between near the trend.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather. He's out of Chicago. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.